two rock legends that have written and recorded more songs we know than we can count. We've been playing their music for over 50 years on this station, and it's still as impactful now as it was then. Tom Johnston and Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. Good morning, Michael.
Uh-oh.
Good morning.
Sorry.
All right, I don't hear Michael.
Uh-oh.
It's me.
Okay.
There he is.
Oh, there you are. Okay.
Tell us, how does it feel to be back together as a full unit?
I'm enjoying it. I think it's great. The crowds are loving it. They get a great selection of tunes. Mike, how about you?
It's been a lot of fun. We managed to stay in touch over the years one way or another, through gigs and certain things. But this is a lot more fun to be out with the band. Playing this songbook again for me is a lot of fun. The crowds, like Tom said, have been really wonderful. Yeah.
This band is, you have two of the greatest rock vocalists in the same band on the same stage at the same time. It's rare.
Well, thank you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you.
That's we still got a job.
That's even better.
After 50 years, right? That's pretty good. Did you guys think at the beginning of this that this trip would last this long?
That's that infamous question. I don't know about Mike, but speaking for me, I don't know how anybody could possibly think that far ahead.
Right.
Yeah. You're kind of locked into the day you're in and hoping for the best. And then after that, whatever happens, happens.
I don't think any of us dreamed that when we were in our 20s doing this, that we would be in our 70s doing this.
Right.
It's kind of amazing to think. You know?
Tom, I got to tell you, about 5 or 6 years ago, I saw you guys play on a classic rock cruise. It was really mind-blowing how good the band sounds.
Well, thank you. We appreciate that.
And I could only imagine what it sounds like now with Michael.
Yeah.
I agree with you on that one, Todd. I heard the guys play in Nashville just before we decided to do the 50th anniversary tour. And I remember, and I think I said to Tom at the time, this is the best the band's ever sounded, in all the years. So it was good to see guys our age at the top of their game. That's always an inspiration for anybody our age.
I can't even imagine what you guys sound like together. This is going to be mind-blowing at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater on Sunday, September 11th.
You know what's amazing is I still remember the first time I saw the Doobie Brothers. You guys were on an episode of What's Happening?
Just so funny. You know, AJ's every reference of life AJ has is from like a 1970s sitcom.
Exactly, yes. And unlike the high school you guys played in that episode, the amphitheater has a really big stage.
Oh, good.
The amphitheater's brand new, and it's got a really beautiful backstage area.
You're going to love it.
We spend a lot of time in those facilities now with the COVID thing. Once we get to the sound check, we're pretty much there till the showtime.
Yeah.
The name Doobie Brothers, what were the other working names that you were thinking about before you went with Doobie Brothers?
We didn't have one.
Really?
You can't go Hash
Brothers.
That's
why we ended up with that, man. I'll be honest with you, the band didn't come up with that name. A guy that lived in 285 South 12th Street came up with that name.
Nice.
Just crazy thought.
I read
it was apropos. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
We figured that one out early. Right. I read somewhere that the original name of the band was Pud.
Well, that was the original name of the band with John and I and Greg Murphy, but that wasn't the band with Pat and I and John and,
gotcha.
and Dave Shogren. It was fun, but it wasn't the Doobie Brothers.
And then Michael joins the band in 75?
Yeah.
Tom, were you, I read you were having some health issues and they brought Michael in to help you out with the vocals?
Actually, I had to leave the tour. I was right at the beginning of the Stampede tour push. And I had a bleeding ulcer, and I had to get out the road because it was not going well at all. Mike got in to do more than just help out with that. He got to do keyboards and vocals and move on into a situation that, for better or for worse, he's still in today. Anyway, how Mike looks at it. I think it went out pretty well.
Yeah.
But Mike came up with all the songs basically for Taking It to the Streets. I mean, I had one song on there, but I don't really count it. And we went out and did a tour in 76, and I had a ball. That was a lot of fun. That really was. I was still having a little trouble with the stomach, and overall, I kind of left the band in 77. Mike, on the other hand, can tell you that they went on and had a lot of success and toured if you listen to Tyron, they toured basically 12 months a year. They had the probably the most success on album-wise, and I don't know how. I know the single was definitely a number one single on the Minute by Minute album.
What a Fool Believes.
Yeah. Michael, you should be telling this.
Tom's right. It was just we kind of continued on, and I think there was a push to kind of book the band as much as possible, figuring, you know, that maybe the end was near or something. You know, we did work a lot. I remember that. But, you know, it was like we were having fun at that point, you know, doing it. But it did get a little grueling, you know, I have to say that. For all of us, you know, and so we all kind of dropped out at different points, you know, along the way. And it was tough enough when Tom left, you know, that was a huge impact on, you know, the band's presence as the Doobie Brothers, because Tom had written so many of the songs that people knew by the band. And those songs always remained the important songs in our set. But when Pat left too, then, you know, it was like none of the rest of us that were left were really original guys. And the band reformed later after we did a show for Vietnam Veterans Association. And we all came back for that. And then, you know, the more or less the original lineup, I guess, as much as it could be the original lineup at that point, got back together, and those guys have been touring ever since.
The What a Fool Believes, that song, co-written by Kenny Loggins. Did you write the lyrics on that, and Kenny wrote the music?
It was a little of both. We kind of got together on it. I had started the song. I'd written on an envelope on a flight to New York one time, and the only reason I mention that is, I got together with Kenny, and we finished the song. I had promised Ted I would finish that song. I never did, and it wasn't until Kenny and I got together that we finished it, and about a year later, and it got on the album. And those lyrics, a friend of mine came by the house, and typically I had stuff all over my piano all the time, ashtrays full of cigarette butts and empty beer bottles or whatever, you know, bachelor.
Half doobies.
Those lyrics were laying there, and he said, "Can I have these?" And I said, "Sure, take it, you know." I found them later at a Hard Rock Cafe in a frame.
Oops.
I asked the guy.
Did a picture of him smiling, holding it?
Gave him to me.
That song is about a guy who's in a relationship who believes it's something that it really isn't.
Yeah, it's just about, you know, the song is really kind of about how two people look at the same thing and see something totally different, you know.
We're talking to Tom Johnston and Michael McDonald of the Doobie Brothers. One other song on that album, the title track, Minute by Minute. When I hear that, I hear it could be done by Ray Charles. Was Ray any influence of that song when you were writing it?
Not necessarily that song per se, consciously, but Ray was kind of an inspiration for Tom and I and all the guys in our generation for just about everything we did. You know, it was probably a real milestone inspiration for a whole generation of musicians, you know.
And Tom, when you wrote Jesus Is Just All Right, that is...
I gotta be honest with you, I did not write that.
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say, what were you thinking?
It was written by a pastor at a church somewhere. He's the guy that wrote it. We just re-recorded it. The Birds had already done it.
Is that right?
Huh. Well, yeah. You learn something new every day.
Look at that.
Yeah, Jesus.
That's good.
Jesus. I just always wondered, that's a positive song towards Jesus.
Well, it's kind of humorous, actually. The song wasn't humorous, just how that all came about. I mean, we just redid the track. I mean, I don't remember whose idea it was. It might have been Teddy's. Early 1972, and we were in the studio at Amigo down in Burbank, and we just redid the song, put the harmonies in it, and rearranged it a little bit with solos and breaks and all that stuff. But when we played it live on the road, a lot of the kids that would show up were all doing this one way, pointing at the, you know, ceiling. Everybody's looking at each other. But we're not that religious. So, you know, scriptures are coming up on the stage and everybody's kind of snickering. But it wasn't meant to be, you know, laughing at him. We were, I guess, laughing with him. I don't know how to look at that.
Lenny Bolton, 3, 2, 1, boom.
What a fertile time for rock music in California during the 1970s. I mean, you guys intertwined with so many big acts like Steely Dan and Kenny Loggins, all these bands.
Yeah.
Everybody was having a good time. It was a lot of fun to be working in that period of time. There's so many great bands out. And we played with a lot of them.
Well, I just think about Jackson Browne, Steely Dan, you guys, the Eagles, Linda Ronstadt.
Yeah.
And the list just goes on and on and on and on and on.
Yep.
It was kind of like what the British invasion was for rock in the 60s. California did that for rock in the 70s.
California invasion, yeah.
Yeah, it's the California invasion.
A lot warmer.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was intentional, but yeah.
It worked.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited about this show, and I hope folks, you know, there's a few tickets left, and if you want to see two of the greatest rock vocalists together on stage at the same time, the Doobie Brothers, September 11th, Sunday night, at the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. Thank you, guys. Tom Johnson, Michael McDonald, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys. We really appreciate it.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of U.S. soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.